They're large, in charge, and in they're about to barge. Here are Cliff and Kendall!
Hey, baby, baby, baby.
Freaky, 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 freaky.
Get out.
Frodo is bagging.
Stop it.
Oh, are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready.
In Santiago, Chile. Everywhere. I've been going all around town.
Doing that. People giving him weird looks.
And, well, not as weird as you would think. Like, there was, I passed a group of horses, and nobody batted an eye when I did that. But anyway,
I've been going around.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Might have been all the chili we've been eating.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Do you love that song, that Phil Collins song?
Yes.
That was a good song. I need to... Put that on my iTunes.
Put it on the mix.
Where have I been all these years? I've been sleeping on that one. But anyway, I've been going up and down the streets of Santiago, Chile, asking people, do you remember the words to the old Ricky Ricardo song, Santiago, Chile? That's the only part I remember. But he did a whole number at the club about Santiago, Chile.
I don't remember that one.
Well,
I'm having a baby, my baby and me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Of course, Babaloo. And listen, it's so cute. I've just become an old school marm because an old library volunteer because I've now when I've watched I Love Lucy like the last season where they have little Ricky and he's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, he's the most adorable little cherub. Can you? It's so cute when he plays Babaloo on the little bite-sized conga drum. And it's so adorable.
Oh, he was cute.
I'm
sure all that drumming got real old, though.
Well, he was one of those, you know, like, we were prodigies in being able to eat as young children.
Look at them go.
But he really was like a drumming prodigy, that kid.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and then he went on, he was sometimes Opie Taylor's friend in Mayberry.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, occasionally. He was in the friend group there. I'm sure he went on to bigger, better, wonderful things. But there's no way in your life, if at 5 years old, you were little Ricky Ricardo Jr. You're not. It's only downhill. I don't care if he won the lottery and owns an island in the Bahamas. It's not as good.
See, we haven't peaked yet.
It's
coming.
Listeners are saying this show peaked about 9.5 years ago, but too late. This is still Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, and what are we, Kendall, but an old internet talk show radio filler program, just in an American institution here.
We're oldie but a goodie.
We're so old that it's about time that we came back in fashion, I think.
We did this long enough.
I think we're due for a resurgence.
So we'll go back up to 5 listeners.
Maybe, you know, because our ratings, they've just been too low to calculate. Basically, just within the margin of error at Y99.
I don't think that device Charles has calculates viewership or listenership anyway.
I think
it's
a robocall for a spam. I keep getting calls and it said you are under investigation by the courts and you will be prosecuted. Do you get those calls?
I do, but I just assume they're real and don't return them.
I'm just like, you know what? Come prosecute me. Guess what? On the way, I'm going to jump off a bridge. And
ten
minutes later, you're going to be filing paperwork and I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be shaking hands with Lucille Ball and Joan Rivers and like, Judy Garland.
Ladies and gentlemen, of Cloud to Cloud, please welcome your permanent host.
Here we go. And
here we
go. Listen, that's just it's an upgrade for me.
It's just an upgrade.
Come after me.
Now, I get those kind of calls all the time. I get tons of telemarketer calls now.
What a crime. What a terrible way to live our lives. Just harassed. At all times.
Including now, we're harassing the listeners.
We're harassing the listeners, making them listen to this terrible show. But no, Kendall, what is this show all about? Not, and I don't mean the whole thing about two fat men.
What is it all about? It's about the theater.
What's it all about?
The smell is on me for the past 60 years.
Alfie.
You can't get it out of your clothes.
The theater. We're yeah. just old two theater hags,
like
aren't
Statler
we?
And Waldorf.
We are. Don't you love the theater?
I do.
Now, here's the thing. Be honest. Because when we get back to Busheltown...
Be Arthur.
I always thought... that it would be really great for you and I to team up at long last.
Uh-huh. And, about time.
And do all the tuna plays.
Oh, I've been wanting to do those forever.
I think we could. Now, but be honest. If I think about doing that, I would love it. I would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
My mind says to me, Cliff, there is no way on God's green earth that you can remember all those lines. Do you think you could?
I can't remember yesterday. Of course I can't. I mean, I've done it before. I was in the theater once long ago.
We've all been in the theater, Kendall.
I know. So I remember
We're
lines before.
We're all streaming on Amazon Prime.
If I think back, I can probably remember Our Town right now. No, I can't.
No, you can't. My first line is Fiedka in Fiddler on the Roof, I believe, was stop. And then I can't remember. I had to play it straight. I had to make people believe I was a straight Russian who was in love with what the fiddler's daughter.
You must have an EGOT.
I should. I have an EGOT. I feel like I have an EGOT.
You have an honorary EGOT.
You know what? Because here's the deal. I don't need an EGOT because I have an emotional brain EGOT. And I know.
I know that I'm worth more
Emmys and Grammys and Oscars and Tonys than they have enough metal to melt down.
We're worth all the letters in the alphabet here on this show.
We're worth all. I have a whole wall full of emotional Peabody Awards. Mm-hmm. And
they take up less space.
That's right. I don't have the space.
For the real world.
That's why I don't submit everybody. That's the only reason.
Well, and we wouldn't figure out how to like really half the award so Cliff could have half and I would have half.
It would just be a headache.
It would
be more trouble
than
it's
We can't
it's
take
worth.
That kind of stress in our life right now.
Oh, have you seen Mrs. Butter Butter Butterson? She's been out here rocking boys.
Oh, I've been having so much fun here.
Oh, you haven't seen her. She's been burning up on the ukulele.
I did see this little group forming over here, and I was wondering what was going on. You've been jamming over there.
They're jamming. Well, Kendall, you know why we came to this abandoned warehouse? It's right behind our motel here in Santiago. And so, what is this? But now you formed a band with some other seniors from the motel. What is the purpose?
Yes, dear. Well, there's a talent show coming up, dear. We've decided to enter the talent show with our new band.
Oh. Well, that's really weird. Oh. So you're on ukulele.
Oh, yes, dear. There was a big fight between me and Bessie to be on the keyboard, dear, but I decided to let her do it, not play the ukulele.
You're a natural girl.
Thank you, Dad.
Every strum of the ukulele strings is like you're strumming on my heartstrings. Oh, and so, Mr. Snodbottom, I see that you have a bugle. Oh,
isn't it lovely? Yes. Does he look smashing with
yes,
his bugle?
You know, I haven't played in many years since I was part of the Naval Reserve. I would wake up every other naval officer on the boats every morning with the sound of my bugle. I was quite popular.
You were so cute in your uniform.
Oh, well, I think that's great. So ukulele and keyboards and bugle. And there's that man out there in a wheelchair. He's got an accordion.
Oh, yes, there's. Very talented on the accordion.
All right. Well, so what kind of numbers are you guys working up for this talent show? Are you playing like some of the golden oldies? Are you going to go for something new? Maybe a Maroon 5 hit?
Well, dear, we were thinking of playing some of the favorite hits from Red Hot Chili Peppers since we were in Chili, dear.
I love those Red Hot Chili Peppers, although they do wreak havoc on my gastrointestinal system.
Yes, dear. Yes, Mr. Snodbottom, I'm very confused of the songs, dear, but we were having trouble with those melodies, so we decided to do a few other classics, like Rainbow Connection, because it sounds lovely on the ukulele.
I bet it does. With the accordion and the bugle going along.
It's going to be the most beautiful arrangement you've ever heard.
I really can't wait to hear these numbers that you guys crank out.
I think we should be groupies of their band.
Well, listen, I'm thinking you're going to need someone to harmonize with when you guys go out on tour.
right?
Well, yes, dear, we do have some others lined up for that already, dear. Oh, yes, seniors.
We've got a full list, boy.
Oh, dear, well, we're going to need someone to help
Why
eat the food
are there
in the green
so
room.
Many songs about rainbows?
Well, dear, we better get back to our rehearsal, dear. We want to make sure everyone's
side.
Ready.
Oh, dear. Let's get out of here. Strike that one again, boy.
Oh, get your accordion ready. We're going to go again.
Have you been half asleep the other day? I was in this...
Have you heard voices?
Corner store the other day, and I was looking through trying to find something dipped in chocolate, and I heard on the radio, of course it was not all of it in a language I understood, but I did hear the clear dulcet tones or some clear dulcet tones come out, and for a moment I thought, oh my god, they're playing clips from our show on the radio in Santiago, Chile.
Was it Bublé?
With some thing, but turns out it was Michael Bublé.
I knew it!
I thought, oh.
Gets me every time.
My God. I'm a dead ringer, vocally, for him. And another summer's day is coming, gone away.
Oh, clip. They're going to cut our show off. We can't afford the rights to that. They're going to think it's really Michael Bublé.
So, can I understand so much better? But, you know, it was just one of those moving EGOT inner moments. But back to the theater. Kendall,
oh, the theater.
The theater. Woof, shit. What made you fall in love? What was your first theatrical production?
Well, the first one I was ever in was Little Shop of Horrors.
That was the first thing you ever... The first
did.
Time you ever tried the board.
That's the first time I ever touched the stage. And I didn't want to, but my high school drama teacher talked me into it.
I didn't want to do
and
it.
And I wanted to be the dentist.
I didn't want to do it.
Because I thought it'd be fun.
You made me perform you.
Yes,
dentist
you
would
did.
Be fun.
Yes, you did.
The dentist,
I thought it'd be
fun. Oh, the dentist song is one of the funniest songs.
Yeah, and see, I thought I was the funny one. And she's like, you should be Seymour. I was like, the nerdy one?
Oh.
And of course, she was telling me, like, oh, you should go for the lead. And I took it as a big insult. Like, she thought I was nerdy.
Yeah.
Seymour Krubhorn.
Well, maybe she just looked through the yearbook and was like, okay, you know, heart, let's
I
find.
I was voted the nerdiest the year
Let's
before.
Find this year's Rick Moranis. And is I mean, there are higher compliments, but not many. That's a compliment.
Hey, I followed in his footsteps. I retired before my prime.
Well before.
Mm-hmm.
Only imagine what your prime might have been.
Oh, God.
But what else did you do after that?
Well, I did Big River.
Big Fat River.
Yep. And Susan was in that.
Big Fat River. He just keeps on eating.
Yeah.
He just keeps piling those mashed potatoes.
Were you Huckleberry Finn or the African-American gentleman?
The Runaway Slave Jim?
Yeah.
No, I was Huck Finn, and Susan was Mary Jane.
Typecast as a little cracker.
A little cracker that could sing.
The little cracker that could.
Except I couldn't sing. So anyway, I did Big River.
Imagine, you're a theater... teacher would have shit her pants if she heard me humming down the hallway one of those hit songs if she back in the 80s
and that's how Glee started
back when I would have just been walking down the hall putting up some books singing take on me
like, what is
take
that?
On me take me oh she's like, is Tony Bennett here
we're changing the show this season
she's like Kendall you're out
Cliff, you're in.
Kendall, I've got an important job for you. Nobody can see the play if you don't raise the curtain.
Well,
that's
it's a
for you.
Good thing you weren't there at my school.
Well, you're welcome for me not stealing your role, as definitely would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, what else? So then I'm interested now. I feel like Marc Maron. I'm asking you interesting questions. After that, what your career? Let's follow it. Your theater career.
Right.
From Big River to?
Our Town.
Our Town.
Yes. I played the stage manager in Our Town.
Oh, that's sad. They didn't give me anything good to do. Just
I loved the stage
flipping
manager.
Flipping on the lights.
Hey, I'm an 80-year-old person inside anyway, so I channeled that. And I just sat on the side of the stage while the scenes were going on. It was my favorite role ever.
Now, here's what I remember about Our Town. And I remember when Winnie Cooper was in it on The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
I'm about to start weeping thinking about it. I remember... reading it, I think it was in a textbook in high school.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I remember reading it. But I don't remember. I don't guess I've ever just seen the play. Maybe I have. I don't know. What percentage of time is the stage manager? He's in it a lot, right?
Oh, he's in the whole thing. Yeah.
Is he out? But and he's always just sort of narrating it. Is that what
yeah.
it is?
Yeah. I mean, there's huge patches of dialogue.
Like oh, big monologues. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah. Because he's like, oh, this is Grover's Corner. It lies here in latitude, longitude. It's like all this stuff to talk about. And then he'll say, here's the webs. And he'll stand there while they do the scene. And then he'll say, oh, and these are the others. I forgot the other name. But, and then, you know, it's like, and then he plays the preacher and other characters. So it's like, I was always like running around. It was
tough. Yeah.
But it was fun. I love that one.
That's, well, see, and then you went on to do, we did a not known at all film at film school called A Dog's House, yeah. And I can't say more about it, but I will say you played a lot of parts in that, too.
I did.
You did. You were just, I didn't know I was casting you. That you were
you
like.
You pulled me from the theater.
You were like the Mike Myers. You were just everybody.
I was hiding in plain sight.
Hiding in plain sight. So fat, we almost didn't see you.
And then Mr. Snodbottom found us. And he said, let's make a show, boys.
He said, they've got something.
They got something, all right.
They got it.
They got it.
Oh, well, did I hear my name?
Oh, dear. What do you have, dear?
You know, I've been blowing my bugle. I've got to practice more.
Oh, he's my boogie-woogie bugle man.
Oh, dear. Oh, you know, if Sugarlum, your sense of humor, it just sends me. Oh, my bowels. They found that one so funny.
Oh, I've been hanging around Cliff and Kendall too long.
Well, now, I think Kendall... I don't even know. Didn't you just say his name? You weren't calling him, right?
Oh, I said when Mr. Snodbottom first found us, and he said, you should do a show, because we had it.
Oh, well,
I don't think that's how that story went.
I don't recall anything like that, boys. But we've got
enough.
To get back out here and go over our scales, dear.
Oh, yes, dear, Kathy! Get your telephone up, dear. We're ready to go.
All right, so then you were in our town.
Sorry, yes, our town.
You, not a dry eye... In the house.
Oh, including my own. It made me cry every time at the end.
Including your own. Just tears.
There are some beautiful lines in that play.
Listen, I told you I loved it. It's beautiful. Yeah. And that's why I weep when Winnie Cooper does it. Come on.
It was so good.
I think Mike Seaver maybe did it.
They all. Growing Pains. Every sitcom and television show has done it at some point.
Listen, if that's the truth, then when we get back to Busheltown, Crockpot is mounting a production. Of our town.
Damn straight, straight, straight.
It's just not going to be on the
straight,
same nights
straight,
as our
straight,
production
straight,
of Tuna.
Right.
Of Tuna.
It's going to be in between the Tuna performance.
Of Greater Tuna. Yeah. Right.
So, and after that, like, I started building sets for the plays. That's what led me to be the stage manager over at the Potter Butter 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 Center for the Arts.
You became a little bit too unappealing for those lead roles.
Well, you know, I enjoyed being behind the stage more.
Yeah, because there's more room back
there's
there.
There's more room.
For you to fit. Not
as many people saw how fat I was back there. I was hidden by curtains.
Uh-huh. Well, what a journey.
And nobody told me that's where they keep the food.
An actor's journey.
Yeah.
Everyone, that's how it happens.
Thanks for joining us on Inside the Actor's
Studio.
People
are always thinking, what about the magic? How does it go down? You've just heard.
That's a different show, Cliff. That's a whole different story. But now, what's your theater career like, other than Fiddler on the Roof?
It's wide and varied, like my body.
Well, let's have it.
My body of
Not
work.
Not your body, the body of work.
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, what other plays were you in?
I want you to be Mark Maron level interviewer here.
Well, we don't have that kind of time, Cliff.
Pretend I'm a prickly celebrity,
Cliff. Before your time on Fiddler of the Roof, did you have a? Or is that what that was your first play?
Why no, Kendall?
Oh, what came before, Cliff?
So much, you know. Success does not happen overnight.
Take 20 minutes to explain what happened before.
I tried those boards for years before I had the breakthrough role in Fiddler on the Roof. I believe my first role, you know, I used to perform in front of a small religious crowd.
God?
At a church. And I think the first appearance, I played a shepherd as like maybe a 6 or 7 year old.
Uh-huh.
It was a long time ago because my parents were married, and it was a breakthrough. It was mind blowing. Later,
you pull all the attention from the manger right over to the shepherd.
Of it.
Yeah.
I remember I was so excited because I got to carry a little stuffed lamb that was mine from home. It was a stuffed animal, and I loved it. And I was so excited. That of course led to a larger role in a different Christmas play. In front of the same religious crowd. No. My dear friend Beatty McJazzy, mm-hmm. from the old days before we were very young. I think we were we were probably like fifth grade.
We're talking pre-Cliff and Kendall.
Pre-Cliff. And, oh, here's what happened. This is behind the scenes. I'm spilling the tea. Spilling the tea from that
true Hollywood story.
From that religious production. it was originally my BD was Mary, right? And my cousin was Joseph.
Okay.
And I was a wise man. But
of course.
It became apparent. Wise ass. Right. I wasn't the ass. it became apparent to everyone involved that the chosen Joseph could not fulfill his duties. And so they thought, you know who's got talent? That wise man. And so they bumped me up. We had to switch costumes. And this is a Cliff and Kendall moment because my cousin was and is very skinny.
Uh-huh.
And so Joseph was, once it became me, Joseph was wearing a very tight, form-fitting Bethlehem robe. But anyway, I was...
At least it was a robe.
Yeah, I became Joseph, got bumped up to one of the headliners. And then
one below Jesus.
Uh-huh. After that, I don't think I had any lines. I think I just stood there. But but then there were other religious productions, too numerous to go into.
Too many mangers to mention.
One of them, it was probably, looking back, I probably played an offensive caricature of a Jewish hotel owner. But I didn't know that. Everybody, I was like 13.
We were dumb.
I was 13, and I felt like I was playing it with respect, but I did a terrible over-the-top Yiddish accent. And but anyway, I stole the whole production. Mm-hmm. And listen, I had those Christians rolling in the aisles. And so then it went to another. Finally, I'll skip over some. We finally get to high school where I, get the wonderful role of Fiedka, the role of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And
one that propelled you into stardom.
Right. And then after that, we did Harvey, the play. And I was one of the main people in that. I was the head doctor at the sanitarium. And but see, I feel like I've kept forgetting my lines even then, and because our rehearsals kept being put off and put off. It was like one of those productions that kept getting bumped and bumped until finally it was like, I don't remember even what I'm supposed to say.
It's like telepathic. I felt it. I had to burp. Oh god.
But anyway, I was incredible. And I remember one person who was my uncle, and he said, it really came alive when you came on stage. And so
a star was born.
A star was birthed again. Mm-hmm. I was already established at that time. And so I believe after that I moved more into vocal singing, live performances. Uh-huh. My music career just took off.
When we got behind the mic.
And I was always, there was a mic. And when I sing, I put the asses in the seats.
Put them in the seat.
And I rock the Casbah. And there's no booty left unshaken when I...
I'll sing you a song with my perfect pitch. Sing you a song or two. I've been blessed with the gift of perfect pitch, and I sing only for you.
And so that's what I really take pride in these days, of that in the Buble-esque voice.
His milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
And that's right. It's better than yours, and that's right. And so, but anyway, and then I moved on to film roles, currently streaming on Amazon Prime. And
iTunes.
And iTunes, everywhere.
Everywhere movies are sold.
Yeah, I won't say finer movies. but movies are sold, and, you know, that's just... And the sequel, I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. And I have one scene, unless it was cut. What a varied career. Gosh, this has been like Cliff and Kendall inside the actor's studio.
I know, and there's so much more that we're going to have to cover with theater, because I got so much more.
Oh, my God, Kendall, I haven't even started talking about the Greek theater, Medea, and...
Well, speaking of Greek theater...
Yeah.
The thing that's closest to Greek theater on our show
is
Hostmatch.
Hostmatch.
Oh my God. Listeners have, do you think they've, I feel like anybody who's listening to this has become petrified, like in Harry Potter, when they see the basilisk and they can't move and they're thinking, God, I wish I could cut this off. But they can't because they're petrified. And so
they've already cut it off.
Listeners, I say if you have fallen into one of those frozen sleep things, what is that called?
They're like sleep paralysis.
If you're sleep paralyzed, lean into it. Cliff and Kendall are here with you. And
if you're going through hell, keep going.
And if you're this far into the show, you're going through hell.
Yep.
Kendall, host match, this is it.
Here it is.
The object of this segment is for the hosts to match.
Oh.
Kendall, bulletin historians have just discovered that famous author Charles Dickens wrote all his most timeless works in the blank.
Timeless works in the 3, 2, 1 bed.
Shitter.
Maybe he was shitting in a bedpan.
Maybe he was sleeping in a toilet.
Hey, one of the two.
Kendall, bad news.
Oh, no, not more.
Cliff and Kendall are so fat. They're so fat. And you're supposed to say, how fat are they?
How fat are they? Well, sorry, I was. You were making me cry.
That's why it reiterates they're
how
so
fat. How
fat
are they?
Well, Kendall, they're so fat. They've outgrown their underwear. And they exploded out of it one day. And they had to put on blank instead.
3, 2, 1. Mr. Smallbottom's diapers.
Parachute.
Old parachute pants?
No, an old parachute.
I know.
Like, did you ever do the parachute when you were in gym in elementary school?
Oh, yeah.
Where you had, like, that.
I love that.
That, but with two holes in it for
our
legs.
I never shit in it.
There's the first time for everything. Kendall Patty went to bed one night, speaking of bed, and dreamed she was a dentist. Speaking of dentists.
I see a dentist.
When she woke up, she realized she drilled holes all up in her blank.
3, 2, 1.
Oh,
tongue.
Husband's wiener.
No.
Ouch. Kendall, you need to go back to dentistry school.
I guess so.
Kendall, there was someone named Myron, and he said this. He said, I think my wife has been stepping out with a circus clown. Last night, she came home with a red rubber nose stuck in her blank.
Ooh. 3, 2, 1. Her throat.
Pee hole.
I knew you weren't going to go for the obvious.
Kendall, let's try to get one here.
Okay, we'll try.
Batten 0,000.
Well, why start now?
Kendall, but luckily for you and the listeners, we're only just over halfway done. Kendall, Cliff and Kendall are, again, not to belabor the point, but they're so fat.
How fat?
When they go to the buffet, they eat their food not out of plates, but out of blanks.
3, 2, 1. A trough.
Big empty dumpster. That's pretty close. Dumpster,
yeah.
That's
a dumpster trough.
A dumpster trough. We'll give that a half. Kendall, Count Dracula was heard to say. He said, last night was the coldest night of my life. Somebody stole my coffin, and I had to sleep in the blank.
3, 2, 1. The tub.
Freezer aisle at Walmart.
Oh, well, that's a better place to sleep. That'd be my favorite place to sleep.
Let's, Kendall, let's shoot for the stars, baby.
Well, there's ice cream close by.
Oh, that's the definition of heaven. Kendall, finally, this is our one and only chance.
We already had one half.
Kendall, that's how low your standards are.
Hey.
Hey. Kendall, the Lord spake one day, and he said
unto me?
Yep. He said, I'm so sick of the human race.
Oh, how sick is he?
A plague of locusts is too good for them. I'm going to send them a plague of blank.
three, two, one. Cliff Zombie episodes.
Imagine if just Cliff and Kendall, yeah, Plague of Cliff and Kendall's just going around eating everything.
Cliff and Kendall shows.
Of shows? Yeah. Well, I take it one step further. Just giant Godzilla-sized Cliff and Kendall's eating every city.
Well, we'd never stop eating, yeah, for sure.
We'd never stop eating. That's why it's good for us, bad for humanity. Kendall, believe...
Peoria and New York.
Are you, what are you, is that a number from a Broadway show?
Yeah, that's Little Shop of Horrors.
Really? When? Yeah.
At the end, it was like, the planet it ate Peoria and New York and where you are.
And where you are.
Or it says, and this theater in the original. Because then the plant, like all the tentacles fall and you're supposed to be eaten by the plant too.
Oh. Well, if I were a thin man, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle. But I'm not. I'm so fat. I've got to take a break, Kendall. My obesity has crept upon me. I can't believe we gave 9 hour soliloquies about our acting careers. But here we are.
Well, we needed to.
Right.
Everyone has regrets. Don't add missing Cliff and Kendall to the list. They'll be right back, so don't go away.
What happened? Just a man crossing against the light. It happens every minute. Here's somebody else setting himself up for the same kind of an accident. He's in a hurry. The road looks pretty clear. This could happen to you anytime. Don't take foolish chances. Don't jaywalk. Don't cross against a don't walk sign. You could be killed that way. Don't cross against a red light. That caused nearly 3,000 casualties last year. Don't cross between parked cars in the middle of the block. That killed more pedestrians last year than any other type of traffic accident. Don't jaywalk. Even if you avoid getting killed, you still risk a fine. Jaywalking is now against the law. Remember, cross at the green, not in between.
Hope you're hungry. It's time for another helping of Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Grown-ups often laugh when young people speak of love. How can we know what love is, they say.
Hot damn, hot
we haven't
damn,
lived
hot
long
hot
enough
damn,
to know anything
damn,
about
hot
it.
Hot
they even have a name for high school romance.
Puppy love, dearest. Nothing to worry about.
No, nothing to worry over. Then, when it doesn't turn out like you wanted, they say.
What a whore.
It'll soon be over.
The town I live in could be any town. Sacramento, Santa Monica Lewinsky Boulevard, Albuquerque. You know. I'm the kid from down the street. Yeah, I used to throw your morning paper. I'm really sorry I broke What's-His-Face's window. I really didn't mean to. I go to Center High now. When I graduate, I want to go to the State University. A man needs a degree to get ahead these days.
This is the show. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Where did you come Where do you go?
Listeners, I just want to inform you, it's not a Bublé concert.
Where
you're listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Where do you come from? My Cotton Eye Joe. Oh, no, it's not Michael Bublé. No, Groban has not stepped into the booth. It's just us. I'm still thinking.
No Groban.
Still thinking about what your theater teacher would have thought of if she would have heard me sing.
let's not. I don't want to even entertain the thought where I would be right now.
Let's not. Gutter. In the gutter.
In
Skid
the gutter?
Row.
In the gutter?
Down on Skid Row.
I do want to bring up something about the theater.
Oh, shit. Full of queers.
Since we're already gone so far deep into the theater, I want to talk about the superstitions of the theater.
Oh, Kendall, that's why I will not allow anybody who sets foot in this booth to say Macbeth.
No!
Oh?
Now you've done it.
Oh, no.
Look, I'm already knocking over lamps as we speak.
Well, I gave that superstition up so many years ago because, of course, I named my penis Macbeth.
Oh.
And there's no way inside the theater I'm not saying that a few times. You never guess what Macbeth and I got up to last night.
Oh, Cliff, you're making me
horny.
Saying the word so many times. You're not supposed to whistle in the theater. You know that?
But what if I want to do my Bing Crosby whistle impression?
Well, you're going to die.
Give a little whistle.
Because sailors, they used to tie the knots for the fly rail systems. And they'd whistle to communicate. And they'd just drop a bag right on your head.
Kendall, what I've done for sailors in our U.S. Navy, there's nothing that they don't owe me, okay? They owe me being able to whistle whenever the hell I want
to. Well, speaking of seamen.
Because you know how you whistle.
Oh, my goodness, dear. What's happening to you?
You put your lips together and blow.
Oh, my. What are you two in here doing? I heard someone say something risque over the sound of the cymbals out there.
Well, I'm sure it sounded that way, but it was all very
innocent. It was all very innocent. We were just talking about, like, in the ocean, how people have a dinghy.
Oh, goodness.
Please don't say dinghy on the air.
Don't say anything like that, dear. We must get back to our rehearsal. No. Wait. We have something that's really hot.
I'm afraid it is gonna get a little bit hot. I hope your other band members are okay jamming for just a minute out there without you.
You're talking about hot subjects, dear.
Take five, everyone!
Pardon me.
My bowels. I don't think they're ready for such hot subjects, boys.
Oh, dear, I thought that was the tuba. We have some raw hot subjects, I'm afraid.
All right, well, Kendall, why don't you heat one up for us?
Oh, goodness.
Please, not in here. Not with our friends outside, boys.
I'm so sorry. I think it's because a minute ago...
Yeah, I was speechless.
I kept saying Macbeth a minute ago.
Goodness, dear, don't you know you're not supposed to say such a word?
Oh, boys.
But we're not in the theater right now.
Please don't say Macbeth, boys.
Oh, dear. Please stop saying it.
You know, it reminds me of...
We have enough bad luck around here.
Well, listen. All right. We have enough obesity. You go first.
Well, click to pray. Oh, I like the sound of this story already.
Candle boy, I hope you're about to lead us in prayer.
Well, not exactly. Only in the hot subject prayer.
Oh.
But you've never heard that term, I'm sure, but it's something that the Pope said just last week. He said to a crowd of onlookers, they've started a new app that the Catholics can just click for a prayer if you need one. No need to go anywhere or do anything. Just click and say, "Help me, Lord," right here at your computer.
Why don't people just tweet God?
Well, dear, I'm sure people tweet God all the time.
Oh, you know,
on the knees,
I'm always hearing birds tweeting, and I think they're probably tweeting about God most of the time.
Well, you know, Cliff, you're not too far off. It says that the Pope is constantly, frequently tweeting, calling the web a gift from God.
Well, that is a hot subject.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with him on that subject, dear.
Oh, I don't know, Sugarlump. Everything is a gift from the Lord.
Oh, well, those kitten photos are wonderful.
It's all working together for the greater good, dear. Look,
see, my subject brought us together.
Oh, Kendall, shove it up your subject. Kendall, most people who are lucky enough... Kendall, you need to take some notes.
Let me get a pen.
Most people who are lucky enough to celebrate their 100th birthday, well, they mark the day by enjoying some quality time and some cake with their loved ones, but not... Except for the loved ones part.
Oh.
Kendall, not Doll Jenkins. Nope, this great-great-grandmother had an extra special treat as she marked her landmark 100th with two naked hunky men.
Oh.
Staff at her retirement home in Colchester, Essex, hired the two nude butlers to serve up sandwiches, scones, tea, and wine at her party. And Doll absolutely loved her present, even though she was nervous at first, but it wasn't long before she was smacking their asses and making cheeky comments.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure that story's appropriate for the air.
Oh, please edit that one out, boys.
You know, we don't edit any good stuff out.
You know, we edit all the good stuff. Well, I think maybe we accidentally edit all the good stuff out.
I clicked the wrong button.
Something. Maybe let's check that setting. Kendall, now, I want you to know you don't have to wait for my 100th. To get me two naked hunky butlers.
Okay? Where are we going to find two nucky?
I'll give a
hunky
shit.
Naked butlers around here.
I don't know, Kendall. It's a world full of hunky nudes out there.
Dear, and the web did come from God. There's a website right here where you can get two hunky. Oh, dear, that's what you're talking about, dear.
Oh, My sugar love, please don't click on anything. You don't know what's going to come up.
Oh, goodness, all these pop-ups, they're going everywhere.
Oh, Kendall, I think your iPad just got frozen.
Oh, great. Here, I'll reboot it.
All right, well, Kendall, do you have any hot subjects other than those that were on your iPad?
I did see one story I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
Do you know the movie The Trolls?
With
the troll movie?
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful movie.
Oh, terrible film. Not at all about trolls and their hair. Oh, their hair was so garish, girl.
Oh, dear, they were cute little trolls.
Oh, revolting.
Anyway, dear, what were you saying about
them? What about it?
Well, you know, the glittery one, he farts glitter.
Ugh.
And didn't you say this in the movie?
That sounds repulsive.
Hold on, it is repulsing. It's a hot subject.
Strangely, I have not seen that.
So at a theme park, they have a big, like, you know, like costume troll that you kids can take pictures with.
Right.
And he farts glitter.
Ugh.
In the park. Oh, well, that's terrible, dear. What a terrible idea.
Oh, no.
What is happening to our children?
We don't need to see those kind of bodily functions promoted. Oh, no.
Oh, dear, excuse him, dear. It upsets him so much.
Pardon me, boys.
All right, well,
I think glitter would be a nice change.
Listen, Kendall, I've got another hot subject that's going to take everybody's mind off of whatever you're talking about.
Okay.
Kendall, it's 4 a.m., and it's pretty easy to become confused about things. People are half asleep and all that.
I'm so, listening to Cliff and Kendall.
Well, on Sunday mornings, yes. Everybody is. Everybody's wide awake. Kendall, but it's understandable that somebody could make a rather amusing mistake during that kind of headspace. And the situation one teenager found himself in was he mixed up a photo of a thermometer for a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, oh my.
And so this guy from California, he reportedly freaked out after his girlfriend, Vanessa, sent him a photo of a digital thermometer showing a reading of 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And accompanying her photo were the words, "Holy fuck!" And Isaac promptly fired off a string of worried messages saying things like, "How?" and "WTF?" and "You're on birth control!" And eventually, he became awake enough to clearly take in the photo and realize what the image was really of. But you know what? He later told BuzzFeed that he felt like a dumbass when he made his mistake and he realized it. But you know, everybody's laughing now, and it's just a hilarious mistake about a girl with a fever, and that's all.
That's all.
That's all. That's really all it was.
Oh, yeah, well, that could have been a very unfortunate story about young children getting pregnant.
Oh, please stop talking about such things. Oh, dear, I see them out there. I think they're tuning up without us, girl.
Oh, dear, no, dear. Please wait on us, dear.
Oh, I've got my bugle, everyone.
There they go. They didn't tell us who was hot. Who was hot and who was not.
Who was hot and who was not. Well, do you remember when Us Magazine used to do like a hot or not list?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Before they sold out and became a horrible shit rag.
We didn't even make the not list.
Didn't even make it. Not even cool enough to make the not list.
We're on the not list.
Kendall, there were three lists. The hot list, the not list, and everybody who's not on a list. And I think we were put on the wrong list.
That's the one.
What a horrible life.
That's where we were.
Kendall, take me back to the age of Greek theater when William Shakespeare first took his pen and dipped it in the inkwell and magic flowed forth.
I thought you just protest too much.
Kendall, don't you even know any Shakespeare soliloquies?
I do. I knew some. I knew some until the moment you just asked me, because the moment you started this, I was like, can't remember
anything.
How
about anything. To be or not to be?
That is the question.
Whether it is nobler in the mind. Kendall, I think what we need to do is take all of your theater tips, wad them and shove them up your ass. And then I think you should. That's just me being nice.
Okay.
And maybe
I took the nice route.
Just me being colorful. Kendall, I think you need to do that. And then we should go online and look up a Shakespeare soliloquy, and we can have audition and see who's better and should be in the Shakespeare play.
Well, who's gonna judge these auditions?
We'll have to do it on the honor system.
Oh, well, that's tough.
That's tough.
That's tough.
Oh, I'm gonna find mine before you can.
Wait, is that part of the...
Yeah, it's also a race. That's why. That's why there's a clock ticking.
Well, I don't have any internet on this iPad because Mrs. Butter 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 Churn froze it.
Oops.
I'm already behind.
Oops, you're behind. I'm halfway there. Oh, I think a lot of times people get parts because they were on time for the audition.
Well, I guess those people didn't have anybody playing on their iPad before getting pop-ups.
Oh, just don't pick one from Macbeth or it'll be bad news.
Oh, I won't.
Oh, no, now my it's not loading. Come on. Hurry.
Oh, my God. Where are they? I am that merry wanderer of the night.
God damn it. I picked the same one.
How do we do that?
I don't know. Here, you go on, and I'll go second.
I jest to Oberon and make him smile, when I a fat and bean-fed horse beguile, neighing in likeness of a filly fowl, and sometimes lurk, I in a gossip's bowel, in very likeness of a roasted crab, and when she drinks against her lips I bob, and on her withered dewlap pour the ale, the wisest ant telling the saddest tale. Sometimes for 3-foot stool mistaketh me, then slip I from her bum, down topless she. Uh-oh.
Kendall, you're trying to get the part by being salacious.
Well, you didn't say how to get the part.
This is not a Girls Gone Wild
and
video.
Taylor cries and falls into a cough, and then the whole choir hold their hips and laugh. This is hard. And waxen in their mirth and knees and swear. I had that part about it being hard.
Uh-huh.
A merrier hour was never wasted there.
I doubt Kenneth Branagh stops in the middle of his soliloquy. He's like, oh, this is hard.
Well, but that's what the show's missing.
That's what the show's missing. Much ado about that, mm-hmm. Huh? Kendall, sit your ass down and get ready for some acting.
Okay.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshallest me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools or the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now, o'er the one half world, nature seems dead. And wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings and withered murder. Alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf, whose howl his watch thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides toward his design, moves like a ghost. Thou sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps, which way they walk for fear. Thy very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whiles I threat, he lives words, words to the heat of deeds, to cold breath give.
Bravo! Bravo!
And yes, that was from everybody's favorite Macbeth.
Yes, but see, Cliff, neither of us got the part because we couldn't fit in the costume.
Oh, no. God damn it, we should have been Henry VIII.
But we are the understudy now for the two parts of the mule.
Now, Kendall, I have to make another warning to our listeners because probably some people tuned in.
We'll be back next week.
On Rye 99, some people just turned it in and they thought, why is Laurence Olivier doing a Shakespeare, grand performance.
It's War of the Worlds all over.
In the middle of the morning, as the hours before the sun rises. But it wasn't, it was just me. one half of an obese pair named Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
You're listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
On the grand stage of life, all the world's a stage, every man a player.
Well.
Oh my.
Did you hear her song, dear?
Did you hear it? Mrs. Butter, she was really wailing on that ukulele. I could barely keep my lips on my bugle.
Well, now, look, we were going to listen to your song, but Cliff started reading the most elegant poetry. Shakespearean, or not poetry, Shakespearean. He was reading Macbeth.
Oh, goodness, oh my. Oh, no.
How did you read Macbeth while we were playing our song, dear?
Oh, you really should have listened, boys.
I'm so sorry. I hope you guys will play it again and we will come listen.
Why don't you go run through it one more time and then we're almost done with the show here. Listeners tuned out hours ago.
Of course.
And so.
Bruce, get your banjo back down and play it again.
Get your tuning fork.
It's going to be good.
Well, you know, we've never had a show where in both the first and the second half, we just both gave long, boring soliloquies. But now we have.
Hey, it's first time for everything.
Check that off the list.
Yep, check it off our bucket list.
I did forget we did one segment. At least we're that far. All right, so we have one thing left, right? Do we?
We have an old movie review.
Oh, shit. I forgot all about that.
Right. Just another 40 minutes.
This is just 40 minutes or so. Kendall, I love this new segment. I like to call it, do you think we should call it Be Kind, Please Rewind?
Oh, I love it.
All right, let's call it that.
Let's do it, rewind. No, although nobody knows what that means anymore.
Liz, that's all the more reason, baby.
I know.
All the more reason. Kendall, what movie are we going to talk about? It's an old one from our VHS stash.
Yeah, I brought our box out and like spinning the wheel, just pull one out.
Just pull one out.
Mars Attacks.
Do
you love it? Have you seen it?
Do you love it? Have you seen it? Do you love it?
What do we know about them?
We know they're extremely advanced technologically, which suggests that they're peaceful.
They blew up Congress!
I want the people to know that they still have two out of three branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
See the biggest cast on the planet while it's still here.
Whoa!
Mars Attacks, directed by Tim Burton,
starts Friday, December 13th at a theater near you.
Have you seen it?
That's two of the qualifications.
It's Mars Attacks. Kendall, why don't you, while I tell you about those answers, why don't you look it up on Wikipedia?
Okay.
In case we need some fast facts about it.
We don't need any facts.
I want a source you can trust.
Okay, so Wikipedia?
Kendall, I will say Mars Attacks, I saw it once in the theater, and the first time I saw it, I didn't understand all of its charms.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't love it at first. I loved the aliens and the brains and how people turned into skeletons. I loved that. I loved the galaxy of stars. I happened to catch it last night. It was dubbed badly in different language, but I just was struck. Star after star,
star after star.
Huge mega stars.
Yes. Martin Short. Everybody.
Martin Short and everybody. All the rest.
I wanted to get the important ones out of the way.
No, Annette Bening, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Pierce Brosnan. Michael J. Fox, yeah. Our favorite. And Natalie Portman.
Jack Nicholson.
Glenn Close. Christina Applegate is in a 1 second part. But anyway, Kendall, how much did it make? Was it a huge mega box office bonanza?
Well, let's see, Cliff.
And why, while you're looking that up, why, other than just for fun, was Jack Nicholson two people?
I think he just, because he's Jack Nicholson, he said, I want to play two people. Uh-huh. And they're like, all right.
I think you're probably right.
It made $9,384,000 on its first weekend.
Okay.
And then it made $70 million overall.
Okay. Probably not great.
It grossed $37 million. I'm sure it's...
Oh, that's not great.
That's not great, no. Yeah.
But, you know, it's become beloved, I'm sure, over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't bad.
And so, yeah. But I remember, I think that's one of the reasons I was, like, left the movie theater kind of confused, was because I expected at the end them to say, oh, Jack Nicholson, this was the president's brother. Or something. Oh. For him to look like him, yeah. You know? but it just never was mentioned. And I like that now, because I would totally do that. If I was him, I'd be like, well, listen, I'm playing two parts and you're not going to explain it.
It was ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time.
And I love they just incorporated the demolition of that casino in Las Vegas in with the movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was. They were really actually demolishing it. And they were like, oh, we're going to use it in the movie. That's why that's how that came about.
Oh.
And it actually like broke like that, and that's why they had the thing like break in half in the set.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah, I did my research for this segment.
Look at you. I didn't know Kendall wrote a master's thesis on this movie.
Mars Attacks. Master thesis.
On Mars Attacks. Well, what do you think? Don't you think eventually they're going to remake it, reboot it into a 9-part limited series?
I don't know. Well, I'm sure they will.
Eventually.
Yeah.
And it'll be a limited series until they decide they want a season two. And then it'll just be a series.
Yeah. I like the unpredictability of the movie.
It's just so out there from anything that's normally done from an aliens attacking Earth movie. Listen, they're waving their drumsticks at us. We've got to cut
we're
this.
Coming.
We're coming. We're coming.
Oh, I did. I have a quote for you.
Oh, please.
Somewhere. Here.
Show it.
All the world's a stage, and most of us are desperately unrehearsed.
Oh, shit.
Sean O'Casey.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, Sean.
God damn it.
All right, we're gonna see you here next week.
Is this a dagger I see before me? I could even play it as like a troll, and I've never even seen trolls.
I'm coming near the song.
We're coming. Hold on.
Thanks for listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Binge listen to more episodes at cliffandkendall.podbean.com.
And
that wasn't the last time Toby walked with me to class either. It was spring and I was the happiest girl in the whole wide world. I felt like shouting out my joy to everyone, to the postman, to the little boy on his tricycle, and even the tree in our backyard.
Ooh,
but especially to Cindy. Cindy is my stuffed dog. She always listens to me no matter what time it is or what I have to say, even if it's silly. Oh, Cindy! Cindy, you'll never guess what Toby asked me today at lunch. Never in a million years. No, silly, guess again. No, he wants me to go to prom with him. Yes, can you believe it?
Hot damn, hot damn, hot damn, hot
isn't it wonderful?
Yo,
what?
Yo,
of course I'm going to have a new dress to wear. It'll be white nylon tulle, just like snow. And it'll have a huge pink bow in the back, and I'll wear satin slippers to dance the night away. Oh, Cindy, won't it be wonderful?
Do what you do.
And then when he brings me home, we'll hold each other closely and kiss beneath the stars. Oh, yes, and only once.
Monique. I'd be honored.
What's your name?
Tobe. What's yours?
Suze.
Let's go.
All right.
Bravo! 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 Bravo!